Men are generally paid on salary and not by hourly wages. This, of course, excludes men who are working in other capacities, university, not office work. So you'll often find men taking 12 to 2:30 lunch breaks, not coming until 9 in the morning, sometimes leaving at 3:30. Now, admittedly, they'll be there Saturday and Sunday sometimes to take care of the computer when it breaks down or the counting houses, but then they're getting paid 3 or 4 times as much as the women. You'll often find a situation where there'll be row after row of offices for the women and one little tiny office at the end that's air-conditioned for the men. The men can also ask you to bring them whatever they want. You can bring them coffee all day long. You do all their garbage work, and then they're allowed to scream at you when you mess things up because they don't make things clear for you. Men will be hired usually under different job classifications, because you have to realize that the job classifications for women don't apply to men. Therefore, a woman can be an accounting clerk, whereas a man can be an accountant. A man can be a business manager, and a woman can be merely a clerk, a business aide, or business administrative assistant. But a woman in a clerk category and a man in accounting or a business manager category can have the exact same experience.
How would you describe the reaction of the people who work in these offices to the conditions?
Well, mainly it has to do with the whole philosophy that, well, you're poor and you need a job, so you just have to put up with it, and maybe you should be lucky you have a job. And this is compounded by the fact that with Tompkins County employment situation, you simply don't have any choice, because if you complain about conditions, you might jeopardize your job, and then you're stuck. There's no way you can get employed in Tompkins County. But they realize that there's just not too much they can do about it, so they're very unhappy.
Do people ever speak up to the people in charge about the conditions?
Well, unfortunately, there's really no way they can. Last year, or maybe the year before, Cornell set up a special employees complaint board whereby employees could complain about conditions. However, the stipulation on this special outside agency was that you were first supposed to talk to your superior. Now, if you look at this realistically, there's no way in the world you can go up into your boss and say, I'm fed up with this, I'm sick and tired of being overworked, I'm sick and tired of being hot all day long, I can't make do with the equipment here, I just can't do it. This is ridiculous. And the boss will, you know, merely shrug his shoulders and keep this in mind when you're up for promotion or when you're up for keeping your job when you passed your trial period. Now, if there were an agency where employees could go and complain without first having to deal with their superiors, this would probably work. But as it stands now, there's no way in the world an employee can complain. There have been a few improvements in this area made with the dining workers, but that's a much different situation because the dining workers already have an outside group who's working to unionize them, where they can feel like they can speak up. But as regards to office workers, I just don't see any way of doing it.
Have the office workers done anything about unionizing?
The office workers themselves have never had any way to unionize themselves because right now I can see no way for an office worker who's working that position to organize workers. However, a few years back, the Civil Service Employees Association made an attempt to organize Cornell workers in a broad category encompassing all workers. And there are several reasons for this not working. First of all, the office workers themselves could not identify with this particular organization through many reasons. The fact that civil service workers are in a much different professional category and that they saw no way of relating themselves as office workers. And the other thing that's probably the most important thing to consider with this is the fact that Cornell's policy for years has been anti-union. Therefore, workers were allowed on office time to attend meetings by Diedrich Willers, Director of Personnel, telling them how horrible a union at Cornell would be. But if they wanted to attend meetings of the people working on the unionization, they had to do this after office hours. And of course, anyone working in the administration or their superiors would immediately know what office workers had attended those meetings. Therefore, it was mainly a matter of there's just nothing that can be done if it's going to involve losing your job. So if unionization is going to take place with office workers, it has to be a very, very strong union effort made from the outside.
How is Cornell able to get away with all this?
Well, we have to realize, first of all, that Cornell is the largest employer of Tompkins County. The other large employers are Morris Chain and Ithaca Gunn and a few other smaller organizations, but Cornell being by and large the largest employer means that they have the capacity of setting wage scales and working conditions which the other employers in Tompkins County can follow. Because if Cornell sets these, well then we don't have to pay our workers any better, you know, if Cornell is not going to pay them any better. So Cornell being the largest landowner, owning around 60% of the city of Ithaca,